Thank you, Don and Donna. Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning, Father.
Yes. You can call me Dad. Can we turn me down a little, Phil, here?
Oh, yeah.
Tong is glad to be dad school. I debriefed with him. First thing I said to him on Friday, I think, was, did you do your homework? What homework? I'm supposed to help you. And now you know what we do at the staff meetings. Anyway, good morning to all of you. Joan, good morning. Welcome. Nice to have you here. I'm having a really good time trying to see who you all are without your mask. So if I seem confused, just pull it down for a second. Let me see your full face. I had a lady come up to me the other day in the store. She goes, hi, John, how are you? I'm good with faces, but I'm not really good with half a face. So she started talking, finally I said, please pull your mask down so I can see who you are. So she started laughing, and okay, now we're straight. Anyway, nice to see you. What a beautiful day. Tell you, and we had a marvelous week last week for anniversary. We had a marvelous week, and then this week we did drive-by for Leanne and Mark for their 25th anniversary. And we also visited Bob's house and wished him a happy 89th, Bob, again. The Lord bless you. And Don had a little trip to the hospital and looked pretty serious. And then they told him his heart was just had a little murmur, so you're going to have a monitor. So, I thought that was the dog halter so he wouldn't move away. I thought he had a leash on. Oh, okay. I thought Donna had to keep you on a leash, Don.
It's coming off today. He's had it on for
2 days. And how's he been? Oh, good. That's good. Anyway, so a couple of announcements as we get started this week. Just a reminder for prayer. If you would like to come for prayer at the church, 2 o'clock on Mondays and Saturdays at... No, it won't be this Monday, will it? So, speaking of this Monday with the election, hope you're all going to vote if you haven't. And after the service, we need to move all the chairs. So we need to organize because we're going to have polling stations in here. 11 o'clock tomorrow. All in favor. We go with 11 o'clock on Monday. Thanks. Dan, you never told me. I had a nice chat with you. Yeah, you're getting too old, man. It's hard to remember all these things. But good thing you've got Joyce, Dan. I'd hate to think where you'd be without her. Anyway, so 11 o'clock at the Golds for those that are coming for prayer. And then we need to pray tomorrow for all those who'll be working here and all those who'll be coming in. We never know what kind of a witness. I've had many opportunities in previous elections to share a little bit about the Lord when people have come in. I don't know if you saw a fellow, he backed into the parking lot, south parking lot this morning. His truck was loaded with chairs and stuff, and he said, "It'll just be a minute." He was just getting some metal pieces from next door, so he backed into the driveway, and I said, "Well, next Sunday, come and stay longer." He goes, "I don't believe in that. I'm an atheist." So that whole book of Bible, it's all full of lies. I said, "Really?" He didn't want to talk anymore, so he took off down the road. The Lord even brings them to our parking lot so we can pray for them. So whether today or tomorrow, let's be praying for people. We don't know what the Lord's doing in their life, okay? All right, and then don't forget, ladies, Wednesdays at 10 here at the church for your time together, and then Thursday night we have our study night at the church. Is there any other announcements we need to update on? Okay. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we'll just give this time to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for all the blessings of this day. Father, you are an amazing God. You do amazing things, and you brought us through a very busy week. You're going to continue to go before us in the days to come. And so, Father, as we have this worship time, we just pray that you'll be at the center of our worship, and that all of us will sense your presence. We thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. Bless the Lord. Tonga and team.
Thank you for sending your son, Lord, and make a way that we can get back to you, Lord. Father, we pray for Pastor John now as he's coming and bring us a sermon, Father, that you will give him the words you want him to say and open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, before I preach this morning, we've got some folks I want to wish a very happy birthday to, and then we want to take some prayer and praise notes and pray for folks today. I just want to wish Zen a very happy birthday for the 20th, and Doreen is celebrating on the 23rd, and Kathy, a very happy birthday for the 25th, girl. You're looking as young as ever. I don't know if I told you this, but I was in when we were doing U-Haul. I was talking to a young lady. I think Don, I might have said it to you. And we had a lovely chat, and I thought maybe she was 18. Did I tell you this story? So I thought, you're good, Carl, thank you, because I don't know who I've talked to lately. And I don't even know what part of town I live in anymore. It's like weird. It's like, anyway, so we're talking away and talking away. And I said, by the way, how old are you? She goes, oh, I'm 34. I go, you know, when you're 90, you're going to look really good at looking 60. She laughed, and she then told me that she was Don McNabb's granddaughter. So we had an amazing chat, and I've invited her out for church on a Sunday when she doesn't have to work at the U-Haul up here. Because I said, you know, your grandpa, he plays a mean sax. Oh, I know he does. I said, well, you're going to want to come in here for free. So anyway, that was pretty exciting. The Rayfords, how many years you've been married, you two? 28. Well, congratulations. Viv, has it been hard to put up with them for 28 years? No? Just a sheer joy? Sometimes. Yeah. You love them, but sometimes you just don't like them. Yeah, I get that. Very good. Okay, let's update for prayer. Don, we're going to continue to pray for you and your heart, that there's something that needs to be discovered. They'll find that for you and help you with that. Now, other things we need to pray about. Anybody else with prayer requests? Okay. How many would like prayer from the top of their head to the tips of their toes? Okay, so, all right. So when we're ready to pray, I want you, everybody, to stand up, and I'm going to ask you to put your hands on your head. Don't do this, but you can do this or whatever you need to do, because we're going to pray. I mean, we're going to pray. Yes. And he did an amazing job. So they had the wire all run out in the south parking lot, and then they reefed it all the way down to the north parking lot, and they rewired the whole sign. Now it looks beautiful. So I think Bob and the crew and Phil and you and everybody and Barry, all of you did a fantastic job just getting organized. Who else? Well, yeah, no, Steve would give him credit for that, absolutely, but it was great. And while we were here, many of you remember Mike and Sandy Veer. Mike was on his way home from away up north in Geraldton, on his way to Brantford, made a phone call, came in the parking lot, and chatted with him for 45 minutes. He came in and had a look at the church, took a picture of the church, and he was one of our favorite summer folks, and so they were. He was glad to see everybody again. So thanks to Steve for all that. Okay, anything else for praise? Okay. Why don't you all stand and put your hands on your head or hold your hands or whatever you want to do. We're going to start by praying for our own bodies. Is that okay? Let's do that. Father, this day, you're here. And if you're here, we're glad to be here. And Lord, it is busy weeks as they all go by. And so much of our weeks we are going through life alone. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed because the world comes at us, and sometimes we feel that Satan's trying to buffet us. Other times we just fear, feel sheer loneliness or exhaustion. And Lord, we just want to acknowledge again that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, we just thank you for these bodies you've given us. And we just pray, Lord, now that if there's anything in our bodies that needs to be changed or fixed or rectified or cleared or whatever, Lord, whether it's a heart-related issue, whether it has to do with our lungs, whether it has to do with our eyes, whether it has to do with our feet, whether it has to do with our bowels, whether it has to do with any other part of our body that may be hidden, Lord, we just pray that you will touch us in such a real way that we will not only sense your love, but we'll literally feel the heat of the Holy Spirit working in us. And Father, we want to be your ambassadors in the days to come. We want to have all our faculties. We want to have wisdom from you. We want to have patience and understanding and all the fruits of the Spirit, because the world out there needs to know about you. So many of the things that we're praying about, even today, people need the Lord. And so, Father, we do pray for our family members. Many of these folks we're lifting up to you today, we don't even know who they are. But we thank you that you know Jack and that you know Cameron and that you're going to be working with Gert and her son who's also in hospital. We know that you're with Allison today. We know that you're going to be with Susan as she heads into the courts tomorrow. We know that you're going to work for Bob in the surgery he's to have, for Norm as he has this eye picture tomorrow, for the elections and all the people that will be coming into this place. Lord, may your presence be so real in this place that people will know that they have a Heavenly Father who loves them. And Father, we thank you for all those who've helped us, for Steve and all the work he's done practically and all our deacons team. Thank you for the answers to prayer as Rhoda's sister has come through all of this, and for Gert as she's had this kinked bowel straightened out. And Lord, for all that you have done for Donna's sister Louise as she continues to recover. For Monica, and we pray for her friend Laura, who's looking for a place to live. Thank you that Bruce's nephews, Darren, his surgery was so successful. And Father, for all of these things and all the unspoken issues that we're going through, we know that you know. And since you know everything, we don't need to fret or fume because the infinite God is looking after our finite minds and bodies. And so, Lord, with confidence, we just say thank you today, and we bless your name for being an amazing God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. God's design for you and I. We just finished praying about ourselves, and there's nothing wrong in praying for yourself, because aren't you a son or daughter of the Most High God? Absolutely. Can we not tell the Lord about anything? At any time? Absolutely. And I want to just maybe reinforce some things as we head into the fall, because I only want to think of summer. And God has an amazing design for you and I. And I don't know if you've thought about it lately, but I want to use Job as our example for this, because, you know, sometimes we need to open the Bible, and I thought it's interesting, this fellow here this morning yelling out, well, that Bible is full of lies. Well, I'll tell you, if they're really lies, it's incredibly profound and life-changing. And Job's life is an incredible example of just how God worked and how Satan tried to work. And I want to tell you this story in a shortened form in order for you to gain confidence of just how much the Lord is working in our lives. So let's start. I want to start with Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the what? Greatest of all the people in the East. Now, the fascinating thing is we don't know anything about him. We don't know where he lived. We don't know when he was born. We don't know where his family traveled. We figure from the language of the book that he lived somewhere between 2000 and 1000 BC. That's about what scholars feel we know about him. He lived in a time when, if you notice, there were two things. He was very God-fearing, and he was very what? Wealthy. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't interest me to have 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. Just, I can't get my head around the size of corral you're going to need for that crowd. But in his day, that was the source not only for sustenance, but a source for prosperity, because they traded animals or products that they grew in the land, and that was the currency to have camels. And of course, having what he had gave him great flexibility, because remember, in the trade routes, they often needed what? Donkeys and camels. And so we don't know anything about him, but he was probably very much a merchant. And so what happens is, here he is, he loves the Lord, he's serving the Lord, and Satan wants to sift him. Satan wants to get at him. Because Satan goes, yeah, right. He's only doing what he's doing and God-fearing because nobody can touch him. And so he goes and he speaks to God. And this is what he and God decide, and they have a discussion. He goes up to heaven, he speaks to God, and we have it in verse 10. And God says, or Satan says, have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? What is that saying? Let's start. Just stop there for a minute. What has God done? He's put a hedge around him so that what? Especially Dirty Face can't touch him. Now, here's the first question. Has God put a hedge around you and me? Absolutely. I think sometimes we give Dirty Face too much credit.
Amen.
He's a roaring lion, Paul says. But a roaring lion is a toothless lion, because a lion with teeth doesn't have to roar. He just dives in and grabs and chomps. A toothless lion can only yell because he hasn't any power. Put a hedge around him. You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Now, is God going to do the exact opposite to what he was doing? Satan wanted the Lord to what? Nail him. Oh, you blessed him. Now I want you to curse him. Is that the way God works? Do we get 7 good years and then 7 lean years? We had a lady in our church back in Toronto, and she came to me one day. She was trembling. She goes, it's coming, it's coming. I said, what's coming? She goes, the 7 bad years. I go, what are you talking about? She says, I've had 7 good years. I'm about to have 7 bad years. I said, that has nothing to do with you. That had to do with a famine coming in the land. God never intends you to have 7 good years and 7 bad years. She goes, really? I said, yes. Now, that doesn't mean life isn't tough and things don't come at us like curved balls. I've had one of those weeks that I would call slogging. You know what I'm saying? Or plodding. You know, getting through a day at a time, and Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm trusting you. So Satan says, okay, but you stretch out your hand. And the Lord then says to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch your hand. In other words, Satan had to go to the Father to what? Get permission to even touch the man or anything he had. Do you think Satan needs permission today to even come at you and sift us and you and me a little bit? Absolutely. The all-powerful God, who are his heavenly Father, is not about to let you get, you know, I get thrown to the wolves. Now, do wolves circle? Yes. Are demons out there? Yes. But greater is he that is in us, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. And this is, so this scripture that we figure is about 35 to 4,000 years old is still relevant to us today. But be careful you don't transpose, oh, Job, I'm like Job, so I'm going to have the same situation happen to me. No, this is an example of how God works. So Satan, what? He went out from the presence of the Lord, so he couldn't what? He couldn't touch Job. So what did he do? Well, he worked it out so the animals died. Catastrophes happened, tornadoes and whirlwinds and things. And then the servants were killed. And then the one came back and said, your children have all died. In verse 20 of chapter 1, it says here, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground. And what's the next word? Wowzer. Worshipped. You remember after David's family had all been captured and all the fellows, all their wives and things had been taken, and he came back and they were all gone. And it says, and David went in and strengthened himself in the Lord. What did Job do? Everything was gone. Death reigned. And he got down and he said, God, you're God. And I worship you for who you are. And then he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. And the Lord give. And the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the... Whew. You know what, folks? I get a lot of growing up to do. I got a lot of maturing to do as to the nature of God. And remember, none of this was God's fault, and yet it would have been very easy to what? Be mad at God. God didn't do any of this. In all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Do you think he saw something bigger? And you know what, family? We can't see beyond what we can see. But we can know in the heavenlies, God reigns. And Job in some way knew that God was still in charge, although naked he came into the world, and naked he appears to be going out of the world. Now, Satan goes to God again, and he asks if he can actually touch Job himself, because in all of this, did he break Job and cause Job to curse God? No. So he went from the presence of the Lord again. We see this in Job chapter 2 and verses 7 and 9. And he struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And Job took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. What did he have? He had boils. How many of you have had boils? Jim? Norm? What do you think? Are they... I don't know anything as gushy and mushy as boils. I've had boils. I've had them right at the belt line. So you can't even wear your clothes. I can't imagine boils from the bottom of my feet, the soles of my feet, to the top of my head, so that he had to literally sit in ashes. It was the only comfortable place he could sit. He takes a piece of a pottery, and he just starts scraping. Because it's oozing everywhere. I can't even fathom the amount of pain. I can't imagine. And of course, in that heat, because he wasn't in a cold climate, how many flies do you think were on him? Like, get your head around this. This is who trying to get to Job? The Lord? This is Satan Dirty Face, trying desperately to break a man's spirit. And then on top of it, then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold to your iniquity? You know, husband, you're in all this because you're a sinner." So she had an accusation for him. Because of your great sin, that's why all the kids have died, and that's why we don't have any animals left, and this is why we haven't got any servants, because you've been into some secret sin. So why don't you just curse God, you stupid idiot, and die? Can you imagine even having your wife against you or your husband against you? You're already in pain. You're already in absolute agony. You're oozing and pus and gunk and everything else. And the person closest to you, I mean, I can understand if she doesn't want to wrap her arms around her, him. I get that one. But curse God and die. Just kill yourself, man. Just die. Just God, let God kill you, just because you're such an incredible sinner. I can't imagine what was going in on Job's thinking. And yet what is fascinating, and we don't see this directly, but Job's three friends hear about it, and I believe the Lord had them come to him. And so here we are, we picked this story, this part. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil... Please keep that word in mind, because we're going to see something in a minute. That had come upon him, they each came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zephor, the Naamathite. And they made an appointment to come together to show Job what? Sympathy and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. Why not? He was just an absolute mess. You remember Jesus? They didn't recognize Jesus after he resurrected because the last time the disciples seen him, he was almost beaten to a pulp with blood streaming down and everything else. So they didn't recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes, and they sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. And they sat on the ground with him how long? 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. Family, sometimes when people are going through agony, what's the best thing we can do for them? You're right, Norm. Just be quiet. Just be with them. And they know you're there. I can't tell you how many people say to me, you know, John, I don't know if I can go to the hospital. I don't know if I can go into somebody's house because I don't know what I'm going to say. Good. Don't say anything. Go in there with a look of concern and have even a cry of anguish. I mean, we can all go in and go, oh, we can identify with people, but then just be quiet. 7 days and seven nights. Oh, so how long did Satan touch him for? We know at least 7 days and seven nights, plus whatever happened before these guys arrived. So Satan was doing a number on this boy, and it wasn't pretty. So, it seems that none of these three fellas ever considered that it was Satan who was doing it to them, because guess what happened when they opened their mouths? you've been sinning. It's your sin. Your wife is right. You've done some awful thing. You've got to have done some things. You either haven't prayed properly for your kids or you've done some awful things. Never once did they say, oh, this is a satanic attack. They begin to chastise him on his children's sin or on his sin or his relationship with the Lord. And finally, Bildad says this, and we have it in Job chapter 8. And he says, if your children have sinned against God, then he's delivered them into the hand of their transgression. But here's the next line I want you to see, because this is the line I want you to take from this service today. It'll come in a minute. If you will seek God and plead with the Lord for mercy, if you're pure and upright, surely then he will arouse himself for you and restore your rightful habitation. Now here's the key verse. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be great. So Bildad is actually stating what is in the character of God. Though your what? Though your beginnings are small, the latter days will be great, because it's always God's purpose to what? Have us grow and spiritually prosper and draw closer to him. And Bildad got that part right in the midst of all he said. And so, again, God works all things together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes, Romans 8:28. So now let's take Job's situation and let's personalize it. All right, you ready? The reality is, number one, God's plan is always to prosper us, not to hurt us. And let's start with Jeremiah 29. I've given you three verses here. We'll go over them quickly. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the purposes that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope, a future and a hope. The belief structure we have is always hope-based. We are not in a belief structure that is hopeless. Plans are for a future and a hope. Number two, from Psalm 37. What has David said? I've been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous, what? Forsaken. Or his children begging for bread. Why? Because as people get older, they're under God's supervision. He provides. And then the third verse I wanted you to look at is out of Philippians. For I am sure of this, Paul says, that he who began a good work in you will dump you in the trash heap before your life is over. No. He will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So when we stand before the Lord, what? Everything will be completed, and he will have brought us from way over here, where our beginnings were small, to where our latter days are here and are very great. And this has nothing to do with, as I preached to you the other Sunday, with all the stuff we can gain in this world. This is not about wealthiness, although God prospers in every area. Though your beginnings were small, your latter days will be great. And what happened for Job? Job 42. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before. Notice the brothers and sisters weren't wiped out. And they ate bread with him in his house, and they showed him sympathy and comforted for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Now let's be clear on this. Who brought the evil on him? Satan did. God allowed Satan to sift Job. And I don't think God goes, oh, you know what, that Jim Wilms, he's doing so well, I'm going to let Satan sift him for a few weeks. I don't think God does that at all. We've got to be really careful that we don't think, like I'm like Job and I'm doing really well and now something's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen that way at all. This is an example for you and I to realize of how God's power works. Each of them gave Job a piece of money and a ring of gold, and the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had now 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, would he not be still grieving the loss of his former children? Yes. This doesn't mean, oh, everything's hunky-dory, we just go on our way. And his wife said, glory to God, you didn't need to curse God and die after all, we got more kids. But they must have worked it out, because before she didn't want to have anything to do with them. Now they had 10 kids, so I guess they worked something out. All right, that's just a suggestion. He called the name of the first daughter Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the third called him Corinne Hapuk. And all this land, there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers, which was very unusual. And after this, Job lived 140 years, saw his son's sons for four generations, and he died an old man and full of days. Notice we never hear of Dirty Face again. Satan is removed. He had his moment, and God has banished him out of the situation. And God blessed Job, and his latter days were more than his former. So I want to tell you this. Do you feel sometimes in your life that your beginnings are small? I do. But what's the inheritance that comes through the nature and character of God? The latter will be greater. And so I think there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord the following. Lord, I believe that you're going to work in greater ways in my family. I believe you're going to work in greater ways in my church family. I'm believing for greater things in my business. I'm believing in greater things for when I go to school. I believe you're doing greater things in my daily endeavors, in my sphere of influence. And I believe, Lord, we can also say to you, I believe that you're going to help me in my own personhood, in my own life, in my body, my mind, my spirit, my will, and my emotions. I want it to be, my latter days to be greater than my former days. That's not a pride thing. That's a belief thing in God, who is the God of the entire universe, knows how to work in your life and my life very, very effectively. And what does it say? Far beyond what we could ask or imagine or think, however you want to put it, is bigger than that. Remember Jabez, as I conclude, I want to remind you of 1 Chronicles 4. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Family, do you believe that the best years are yet to come? I do. I believe the best years are yet to come. And the influences that we're going to have in people's lives are like we've never seen before. I think we need to trust God to work in marvelous ways that are what we think in our own human limitations. Our bodies may be getting more frail. Do any of you feel that, or is it just me these days? Ever since I turned 65 and they call me the old man, it's really hard to fight that psychological scenario. I'm not sure what old is. But what I've learned is I stick next to people that are much older than me. So, Bob, if you don't mind, I'm going to hang tough with you. Okay. It's okay. Thanks, Bob. I'm also going to try to run with people who are slower than me. So if a bear ever came out of the woods, I'm ahead of them. But the reality is, why can't we pray like Jabez? Lord, enlarge my borders. What? That I may have a greater opportunity to tell of your greatness. We were driving into church today, and we normally park in that parking lot. I said to Jane, "What are you going to do?" She said, "Well, I'm going to park in the south parking lot." That's exactly when that guy backed in with his truck. Do you think we were supposed to have the conversation? Absolutely. And I prayed right on the spot, "Lord, save this man's soul." Right there and then, I wouldn't have seen if I was in that parking lot. Did God not know what parking lot we were to park in? Absolutely. And so the reality is, we need to ask the Lord to work. I want to close with this story. I think you'll find it fascinating. It's the story of the Day family. And they lived on the Lazy Bee Ranch, and it was a 200-square-mile ranch, so just a small place. It had been in their family since 1881, but it was mainly scrub and bush. When Harry and Ada May Day had their first child, a baby daughter, they traveled 200 miles to the nearest hospital for the delivery, and brought her home to a very difficult life. The four-bedroom adobe home had no running water or electricity. There was no school within driving distance. And that you would think with such limited resources, the little girl's future might be limited. But Harry and Ada May were determined that their children would have the best education possible. So they subscribed to newspapers and magazines. They read to their child hour after hour, and when their daughter was 4 years old, she began a special method called the Calvert method of homeschooling, and later saw that she went to the best boarding schools that were possible. One summer, they took their children on a car trip to visit all the state capitals in the United States west of the Mississippi River. And when their daughter was ready for college, she went to Stanford University and then went on to law school, and she eventually became the first woman justice to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Her name was Sandra Day. So here's the word. In that family, the beginning was small, and the latter was great. And she has served faithfully in that justice system for a long time. So family, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord to work through all the issues that we're working through with the intention and belief that the latter days are going to be greater than the former days. And that he will have his way in our lives and we'll be ambassadors for him in amazing ways in the days to come. You game? This is going to start this week. Father, we're starting out into a new week. A lot is going on. Schools are opening. We've got an election coming tomorrow in this country. We've got many things that are going on. And Lord, we need to first of all remind ourselves that you're in charge of every one of our lives. You reign. You rule. You're our Heavenly Father. And you love us more than any of us can comprehend. In that, we know you're going before us. In that, we know you're our rear guard. In that, we know you walk beside us. And most of all, we know you live within us. And so with these facts, we believe that in these latter days, they are going to be greater than the former. Because you're going to be opening doors. You're going to be giving us new experiences. You're going to be teaching us and allowing us to share with the wisdom that we've gleaned over the years and with the knowledge of who we are in you. And Father, I am really excited at what you're going to do. Excited for what you're going to do for every one of the people that are in this building today and those that are watching by YouTube. Because, Lord, I believe you want to honor yourself in ways that not only bring honor to you, but the world will say, Jesus Christ is real, and God is a heavenly Father to those of us who love him. And so we thank you now in your powerful name. Is today. We know that you're going with us. We do not walk into the rest of today and tomorrow alone. And our plan is that we will trust you, we will obey what you ask us to do, and we will serve you to the best of our abilities. And Lord, would you be pleased to watch over, to keep us, protect us, guide us, and infill us with your Spirit. And we thank you this day for loving us so, so much. Thank you, Lord. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.